What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to Stoma for Life, where today we're delving into a groundbreaking initiative that's revolutionising healthcare accessibility and efficiency in London. Imagine slashing NHS waiting times for bowel-related issues by up to 70 weeks. It's not just a dream, it's the reality crafted by the Central Camden Primary Care Network. This innovative community bowel clinic, nestled in the heart of northern London, is changing the game for patients struggling with digestive concerns. This dedicated clinic at the Bloomsbury Surgery is not only providing fast and effective care, but also alleviating the strain on overwhelmed NHS colorectal departments in London hospitals. With every patient treated in the community, significant savings are being made, amounting to nearly £250,000 a year for the local NHS. 4 in 10 individuals are experiencing symptoms of digestive disorders at any given time, with bowel cancer diagnosis occurring every 15 minutes. Against the backdrop of record-high NHS waiting lists, this proactive approach couldn't come at a more crucial time. Our guest today is Dr. Amara Hughes, a seasoned general practitioner and the clinical director of Central Camden Primary Care Network. After graduating from Charing Cross and Westminster Medical School in 1996, Dr. Amara Hughes gained valuable experience in hospital medicine in London, specialising in women's health. Transitioning to general practice in 2004, she's brought her expertise to patient care. Since 2007, Dr. Hughes has been a leader in the NHS, supporting innovation and system transformation. She served as an elected governing body GP member at Camden Clinic Commissioning Group from 2011 to 2017, completing 2 terms. Currently, she holds provider lead roles and serves as a director of Camden Health Evolution GP Federation. Join us now as she shares insights into how this clinic, equipped with cutting-edge technology, staffed by a dedicated team of healthcare professionals, is transforming patient outcomes while reshaping the healthcare landscape. I'm truly excited to talk about this. Welcome to the show, Dr. Amara Hughes.
Thank you for having me.
It's been absolutely wonderful reading your bio and also what Camden Primary Care Network Community Bar Clinic is actually doing. So can you share the mission?
Absolutely. So we're very lucky that we work in central London, and our primary care network covers 9 practices, which cover nearly 100,000 patients. Our local hospital is University College Hospital London, and they're fantastic in terms of their cancer centre and seeing people quickly on 2-week wait pathways for suspected cancer. However, as with other parts of the country, if you don't have cancer, but you have persistent low grade or low risk symptoms, but still things that can affect your quality of life. So things like rectal bleeding, despite there being no evidence of cancer, that can be really disruptive and still may require you to see a specialist. Now, with the waiting time being nearly a year and a half, these poor patients on the low risk pathway end up with a really poor journey. And then what happens is they then get referred on to urgent pathways, so where they don't need to be there. And that leads to unnecessary investigation for them, which can sometimes be painful, anxiety provoking. But on the other hand, if we put people who are low risk of cancer on a cancer pathway, it can then risk delaying diagnosis for patients who truly need to be on that pathway. So we saw this as a bit of an issue. We saw that there were about 1,500 episodes of rectal bleeding presenting to our 9 practices over the year 2022. Wow. And that year, obviously, as you know, we were just coming out of COVID. So people were contacting us more where they may have been sitting on symptoms beforehand. So that's quite a lot of patients. We now have a test called a FIT test, which is a stool sample, a fecal immunochemical test, which looks for blood in the stool. And anybody that presents to us with rectal bleeding, we do a FIT test. And what that helps us decide is who needs to be fast-tracked for a possible colorectal cancer diagnosis and who's at low risk. So if you have a FIT test that comes back at less than 10, it's highly unlikely that you have colorectal cancer. However, you still have a problem. And it's this group of patients that we thought maybe we can make a difference. So what we did was we spoke to our colorectal consultant colleagues at UCLH and said, how can we help you? This was on the back of the new technology called Lumini coming onto the market, which we're using in our clinic. And we're very, very excited about this because what this allows us to do is look inside the rectum. So traditionally what happens is a patient comes to the GP. We do a rectal examination, usually blind with our finger. Mm-hmm. And you can't feel an awful lot with just the finger. What this allows us to do is look inside the rectum and the anus, which is sort of 10 to 15 centimeters worth of vision. It's a high definition camera. And also the beauty of this is we can save pictures and videos in real time. It's a cloud-based system, so it's secure. And it allows a colorectal surgeon, even if they're not present with us in the clinic, mm-hmm. to look at those images and tell us if there's anything that we need to worry about. So that's the approach that we've taken. So over the past 6 months, we worked with University College London and with the Lumini team at Surgees who developed the product. Mm-hmm. So Surgees gave us the Lumini device on loan for the purposes of the pilot. And UCLH have been very kind in supporting us with the cost of consumables, because obviously you need disposable covers and wipes to make sure that you are obviously keeping it sterile between patients. And one of our local colorectal surgeons, Mr. Alex von Roon, has been supporting the pilot and training up our allied health professionals within the primary care team to use this device, because it really is very, very simple to use. So we've been taking that approach, and Alex has been coming to the clinic initially to make sure that the people that we're training up get enough patient facing time and are competent in using the device and also are skilled up in what they are seeing. And by and large, with this cohort of patients where we've excluded colorectal cancer, we're seeing a lot of hemorrhoids and a lot of anal fissures. And these are very easily treated in the community. Mm-hmm. So by using the Lumini device and being able to visualize these things, we can give people an accurate diagnosis of where their bleeding is coming from, mm-hmm. reassure them that this is something that we don't need to refer them into secondary care for and that it's not cancerous. And we can actually treat the hemorrhoids and the anal fissures in the community. This device will also help us in diagnosing rectal cancers, early rectal cancers. So where somebody may have persistent rectal bleeding, but the FIT test is negative, mm-hmm. by actually having that ability to look inside the rectum, we should also be able to pick up early rectal cancers, which may not be picked up by other means by the tests that we have available to us. So that's a synopsis of where we are. We've currently seen 52 patients in our clinic. Mm-hmm. Our ambition is to get to about 250. Mm-hmm. And within those 52 patients, we've had over an 80% management in primary care. The average wait time for our patients is 4 weeks, whereas in the hospital for this group of patients, which is the only other route, it's 78 weeks. So we've basically slashed that waiting time by over 70 weeks. And the patient journey and the feedback from the patients who we've seen has been amazing. It's a very well tolerated procedure. They like the fact that they're seen close to home. They like the fact that they're seen quickly. We've also trained up both male and female staff, because in the community that we work, culturally, some women prefer not to see a male doctor for intimate problems. And that also can sometimes be a barrier for women coming forward in our area, which can lead to delays in diagnosis. So that's been a real positive as well, that they feel that there is a culturally appropriate female practitioner seeing them close to home, which has allowed more women to come forward and be treated as well.
And down the road, it's peace of mind, because you said, okay, they've got to wait for 4 weeks until they get seen by you. And I mean, 4 weeks can seem a long time, but I mean, over 70 weeks, that's just unbearable.
It is. So absolutely. Absolutely. And remember, before they come to our clinic, they've been seen in their GP practice by a health professional. Mm-hmm. So they've had the initial testing done by their own practice. Mm-hmm. And they were, one of the criteria for our clinic is they must have a negative FIT test, because we do not want to be seeing anybody in this clinic who may have a cancer. So we're absolutely clear that they have to have had that testing done beforehand. And we follow the NICE guidelines. So we're seeing people with who are under 50 with rectal bleeding, but a negative FIT test. And, mm-hmm. and in a way, there's an element of peace of mind there already, that we don't think you have cancer, but we mm-hmm. recognize that your issue is troubling you. So let's get you seen
quickly and also effectively.
Very much so. Very much so. And I think the feedback around this device in terms of both the user, the workforce using it, and also the patient experience is really, really encouraging, because patients are tolerating it very well. We have our workforce who are very, very confident now in using it, having done over 50 scopes themselves. So having basically delivering this at scale means that we are now developing expertise within our workforce to ensure that we are delivering a safe and effective service. And having a colorectal surgeon who's present at the moment in person, but in future we can liaise with him through the technology, through the images, knowing we're clear what we're looking at and where we need to escalate that, it adds an extra element of safety and assures the patient as well that they're getting specialist expertise when it's needed at the right time. And if an intervention is needed, we can refer them in a lot quicker.
Yeah. No, I mean, that absolutely makes sense. And as far as I understood, now this is more like a world first, isn't it?
It is. It is. Absolutely. We are the first primary care network anywhere in the country providing this service at scale and skilling up our allied health professionals. So traditionally, these patients would be seen in a nurse-led clinic in the hospital. And that's basically the workforce that we're using, and that basically non-GP workforce, because it doesn't need a doctor. This level of intervention in low-risk patients using this device can be used by the wider healthcare team. And that's what's so unique about it. You don't have to wait for a long, long time to see a doctor. Mm-hmm. And delivering at scale, you just keep that expertise and you're really delivering a population health benefit, not to mention the savings, as you mentioned in your introduction, to the wider system, because we are reducing waiting times in secondary care and we're increasing early diagnosis of bowel cancer by taking inappropriate patients off that pathway.
Yeah. And, you know, bowel cancer is very treatable if detected early.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what we're so encouraged by is we have a ripple effect in the community by delivering innovation like this. People are then much more likely to come forward with their symptoms, particularly as they know that something will be done. Mm-hmm. And that is another thing that we have seen. We've seen more people come forward to see us with these symptoms. And that, for me, is one of the most important messages with any innovation that we do. It's not just about us doing an intervention, but it's increasing that message in the community that you must come forward. If you have these symptoms, please do come forward. Yeah. In some cases, that could save your life. Yeah. But we also have that message that you aren't just going to be fobbed off and told to go away and there's nothing we can do for you. There is something we can do. And that's been another real positive, particularly in, as I said, in the women who previously wouldn't have come forward in some of the cultures in our area. We are seeing more of them come forward, and we're seeing more and more women come forward in the clinic, which is great.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, we all know colonoscopies are not anybody's first choice of any type of investigation.
No, absolutely.
And a lot of people, I mean, I have spoken to people that have heard of other people that would rather die than go and have a colonoscopy done, because they are so, it's something that one doesn't talk about, and there are so many misconceptions around the subject. So I presume this approach is different. I mean, I'm just trying to figure it out in my mind. It's not as invasive in a
sense. Right. Yeah, that's right. So the rectum is the lowest part of your colon. So it's the first 10 to 15 centimeters of the bowel. So it's closest to your bottom, basically. Whereas the colon is a much longer tract that goes much further up. So a colonoscopy is a much more invasive procedure. It's a much longer instrument. You can't do that in the community.
No.
But the difference here is we can look 10 to 15 centimeters into somebody's rectum without it being too uncomfortable. Yeah. And it gives us an awful lot of information, which then saves a significant number of people from then having a colonoscopy. Yeah. So the few patients that we have referred in with discussion with our colorectal surgeon are patients who have not, we have not been able to actually see anything or diagnose anything just by looking through the Lumini device. So therefore, we have to assume that their issue is further up the colon, and the only way that they can have that dealt with is a colonoscopy. But 80%, 80 plus percent of patients coming through our clinic have not needed that next step, which is the colonoscopy.
Yeah, very reassuring. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be back in a sec.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. I'm here with my guest, Dr. Amara Hughes, who is sharing the incredible story of a device called Lumini that is slashing NHS waiting times for bowel-related issues by up to 70 weeks. Now, we were speaking statistics, and these 70 weeks are an incredible number. I've got something here which says that 355,412 cases of patients were waiting more than 52 weeks. 94,563 cases were waiting more than 65 weeks. Over 11,000 were waiting more than 78 weeks, and 227 cases were waiting for more than 104 weeks to be seen. That's 2 years.
It's staggering, isn't it? Yes. Absolutely staggering. And this is why we were so excited about this project, which was, this is a no-brainer. I honestly think this is a no-brainer. And when I go back to when I first qualified as a GP, it was 20 odd years ago, we used to do proctoscopies quite commonly, which was looking in people's bottoms quite commonly in general practice. But it's a skill we've lost now, partly because of the pressures of how we work, and partly because of the testing, sort of things like fit tests. But we really have de-skilled as a group of primary care clinicians in some of these quite simple tests that we can do in the community. So I think the advent of something like Lumini to allow us to upskill again and get the support from secondary care to do these investigations and treat people in the community, I think is a fantastic place to be. And I know a lot of GPs out there might think, I just haven't got time or the headspace to take this on. And that's why we're doing it as a primary care network, because on an individual practice basis, I agree, I think this would be very, very difficult. It does take time. Mm-hmm. So we have 30-minute appointments at the moment, because you have to, obviously, you consent the patient, you have to make sure that the machine is ready, you've got to make sure that you've got all the disposable kit and that it's all sterile before you can examine the patient. And then when you examine the patient, there may be a treatment that you need to give. So it does take time. And I can understand that this is not easy to do at individual practice level. But when you work at scale across a population footprint, like we're doing in a primary care network, I think if we can flex our workforce across the primary care network differently, which is what we're doing, it can be really beneficial, because it actually takes time off GPs and gives patients a really positive experience. So now, rather than the GP thinking, I should examine this patient, the only thing they have to do is do the fit test, decide mm-hmm. whether this person has cancer or not. If yeah. the QFIT comes back negative, mm-hmm. they refer to our clinic, where the patient will have a 30-minute appointment with another primary care clinician, with support from a colorectal surgeon, and hopefully have their problem dealt with there and then within a month of them seeing their GP initially.
That's a great number, you know, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Been seen to, and you've got peace of mind, because that's something that I certainly always talk about. Peace of mind is just so important, because that inner voice, you know, if it starts talking and, you know, you start thinking all sorts of thoughts, it's not good. It'll result in different issues.
Absolutely. And the thing is, all the guidelines do say as well, not just from the patient's worry perspective, if a patient yeah. keeps coming back to me with an issue that's not going away, I will be doing something. And if I haven't got the capacity or the facility to deal with that problem in my practice, I have to refer them. Yeah. But then when you have a wait time of this long, that's so unsatisfactory and so worrying for the patient. So this is where I think if we have the ability to do something in our clinics, we need to try and find a way to do it. And so the way we looked at it, that is, the PCN has funding for the workforce. So in our PCN, what we do is we employ the entire workforce centrally. They work across our 9 practices, but they are employed by the PCN, which means that we can then develop our workforce based on what their interests are. So we've got pharmacists, paramedics, nursing associates, physician associates, all sorts of people in our teams. And what we do is we look at where their skill sets lie and what they're interested in. And that way, they become experts in their little primary care field. And that's basically what we've done. We've taken 2 clinicians who are interested in this mm-hmm. and developed them. And now they can see patients all day. They run a clinic every fortnight at the moment, and we're hoping to build that up so that we're seeing 12 patients at least a fortnight. And if we have the capacity, we will do that once a week. Again, this, you know, depends on what the needs are of our practices as well and how many referrals we have coming in. But because we employ our workforce of allied health professionals centrally through the PCN, we can flex them based on the needs of the population. Yeah. And that's what we've done.
Yeah. You said already you've had 52 referrals. Is that correct?
That's right. 52 seen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite a large amount.
It is. Yeah. Considering that in the whole year, when we looked through the records, there were 1,500 episodes of presentations with rectal bleeding, and some of mm-hmm. those will be repeat attendances. And our ambition to get good data to see the impact that we're having is, we want in the pilot phase to get to 200 to 250. And we think we will do that over the next 6 months at the rate that we're going, mm-hmm. particularly as our primary care team become more experienced and quicker at actually using the device, and the time that they take per appointment will lessen by about 5 to 10 minutes. So we do think that we will be able to maintain, if not reduce, that waiting time From 4 weeks to even shorter. At the moment, the 4 week waiting time is because we are still needing to pull on poor Alex's time from secondary care. So he's at the moment taking some study leave and, you know, to make sure that he's got that protected time to support our clinic. So that's why at the moment we've been quite limited as to how many patients we can see. But once he's happy that our primary care team can use the device and manage these things independently, mm-hmm. he will be remote in his mm-hmm. clinic, and he'll be called on only if our clinicians need him to view something.
And actually what you've created is a new job description for.
Yes.
You know, it's a completely new job title. Because it's a brand new device.
Yes, completely. They're specialists within Lumini. They're running a digital rectal pathology clinic. But do you know what's really interesting? It is now, it's part of the NICE guidelines as an intervention, digital rectoscopy for people who are low risk. So rectal bleeding, but low risk with a negative QFIT. And from what I understand recently, NHS England are prioritizing this device as an intervention to help reduce waiting times across the NHS. So we are trailblazers, but also, you know, I'm just delighted that the workforce is so happy because they have a skill. They're being developed and it helps staff retention and staff morale as well if they have something exciting to do. And you know, the patient satisfaction, the feedback that they're getting also just builds morale in what can, you know, if you read the press, can be sometimes quite a demoralized workforce. So yeah it's amazing.
Yeah. And like we spoke about earlier on, you know, the misconceptions of the patients on having something like that done, obviously they walk away with a positive feedback, as you said, and by word of mouth, you will be getting other referrals, I am sure.
Absolutely. And that's what we're finding, that the referral rate with any new service, it takes a while for word to get out that it's there. Yeah. But what we've seen, particularly over the last 3 months, is more and more people have gone through the service. The referrals have increased because people talk about it. And if we do nothing else, we want people to talk about their bowel symptoms more. Yeah. And we want them to come forward because obviously we are reducing waiting times for the low risk, but we mustn't forget that people need to come forward in case they do have cancer. So that the awareness of the QFIT as well, the FIT test in the community is great because people now know it's just a stool sample. It's just like that kit that you get through the post if you're getting your bowel cancer screening kit. There's nothing invasive that's going to happen. So, you know, and this is very, very well tolerated. So that when people say, I've had it done, it didn't hurt. It was really quick. It was really easy. I had my hemorrhoids treated. I had my fissure treated. Life is back to normal. That creates such a positive message and it encourages other people to come forward.
Yeah. And people go for all kinds of checkups, and that is sort of always ignored. That's always really at the bottom of everybody's list. And in that way, people will be more open to actually going and having it checked out.
People don't like talking about bowels, do they? Nobody talks about it. You know, it's almost like we don't poo, you know, blood in your poo is it's such a common symptom. You know, one in two people at some point will suffer with, have at least one episode of rectal bleeding. It is so common. But the way it's not talked about, you would think nobody has it. So
exactly.
And you hope that it's going to go away. And it's almost embarrassing. And we need to somehow make it less stigmatizing, which is why I'm really glad to be able to talk about this. And I'm really glad that we are, you know, promoting what we're doing, because we should be encouraging people to come forward. And if people don't come forward to see us, we can't help them, and they shouldn't suffer in silence. And I think it's such an important message.
Yeah. I always say, you know, be caught with your pants down and have the test done.
Totally. You know? Totally. Totally. Sending off a stool sample should not be a stigma at all. It should not be a stigma. It should be the norm.
We're going to have a quick commercial break, and we'll be back looking ahead on what the hopes and aspirations are for the future of the community bowel clinic.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, Dr. Amara Hughes. Now, as I said, we're looking towards the future. What are the hopes and aspirations for the future of the Community Bowel Clinic?
So we hope that we'll be able to expand this service and we will have enough positive data that will allow us to be commissioned. Because at the moment, as a pilot, we're funding this completely ourselves as a PCN, and we've had a small amount of funding from University College Hospital London. With our initial results, we've also been to the North Central London Cancer Alliance, who are quite excited about some of the work that we're doing to help reduce wait times on an urgent pathway. So they've supported us to continue the pilot to help with some of the costs of the consumables. But we will only be able to continue and expand this if our commissioners at the Integrated Care Board invest. So what we're hoping to do, working with our academic health science network, which is UCL partners in our patch, who first introduced us to Surgies, the company that make Lumini, we hope to do a full robust evaluation of all of our data when we've got to about 200 patients. And with that, we should be able to identify the acceptability of the device, which I think is emerging quite strongly as very acceptable to patients from the feedback we've had. The quality and safety, it seems very robust. We haven't had any significant events. We've not missed any significant pathology. And we know that the training is being done under expert supervision. So the governance is all there. So all we need now is to demonstrate the savings in the system. And given the amount that we've already demonstrated, we are well on the way to saving hundreds of thousands of pounds in our area alone. So if we can expand the number of people in the evaluation, we hope that we can have even more data and have a really robust evaluation that will ensure that our ICB invest in us and that the Cancer Alliance see this as a worthwhile community project to continue to fund.
Yeah. Absolutely. And until when is the clinical trial? End of the year or?
So until we get to 200 to 250 patients. So we hope that we will achieve that, but within 2024. So that's the ambition, hopefully within the next 6 months, but it completely depends on where the training sits and how the colorectal surgeons feel about allowing our team to practice completely independently. So that we're hoping that we'll reach that stage in the next 6 months and have enough patients to robustly evaluate and then present our findings back to our Integrated Care Board and the Cancer Alliance.
Yeah. And also the device, Lumini, I'm sure the people that have developed this are at a keen interest on having this as successful as possible.
Absolutely. So they've very kindly given us this on loan because, you know, we're testing a proof of concept. And if we can prove that concept, then I would hope that other clinics and other PCNs like us would look to initiate this as well to help not just bring down waiting times, but let's make the journey much, much better for the patient. And let's invest in our workforce. Let's do something different because it's so satisfying. It really, really is. It's so satisfying to give such immediate relief to patients as well and know that you're helping the system in the process.
Yeah. And, you know, bowel cancer is on the rise, but also the rise of patients that are much younger.
Yeah, absolutely. And age is no cutoff here. So our message is If you have any symptoms, any bowel symptoms that are not going away, please, please contact your GP practice and get it seen. And this is where this clinic came about. There are plenty of people with bowel symptoms out there. And those of you that need urgent treatment, we have really non-invasive ways of trying to distinguish that and getting you on the right pathway. And the more people who don't need to have the invasive tests, if we can manage those, it will make the bowel cancer diagnosis when people come forward even easier and even quicker. And that's our hope and ambition for the future as well, to have as much early diagnosis and save lives as much as possible and keep those people that don't need to go to hospital with us, but make sure that we manage and treat their symptoms as well.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful closing statement. I mean, we couldn't wish for anything more, especially me myself being a bowel cancer survivor. This is like music to my ears. And I am so pleased that you are seeing the first signs of success with this clinical trial. And I wish you all the success going forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye bye. Bye.
Thank you so much, Dr. Amara Hughes, for this absolutely invaluable information on the Lumini and what is being done in terms of technology and early detection. Now, early diagnosis of digestive issues can have a profound impact on our general health and well-being. By identifying and addressing problems in their early stages, we can prevent them from progressing into more serious conditions and improve our overall quality of life. Digestive health plays a crucial role in our body's ability to absorb nutrients, regulate metabolism, and maintain immune function. When left untreated, digestive issues can lead to discomfort, pain, and even complications that affect our daily lives. By seeking early diagnosis and treatment, we empower ourselves to take control over our health and prevent these issues from disrupting our well-being. Now, I've got some positive affirmations that can serve as a powerful tool to reinforce our commitment to our health journey. Here are some of them. I trust my body's ability to heal and restore balance. I'm proactive about my health and I take steps to nurture my digestive well-being. Every choice I make supports my digestive health and overall wellness. I'm grateful for the opportunity to prioritize my health and make positive changes. I embrace each day with optimism and gratitude for my body's resilience. Remember, taking care of our digestive health is an essential part of self-care and contributes to our overall vitality of life. I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Amara Hughes, and I can't wait for her to return to tell us more about the Lumini and the positive effect it has on the community. Bye for now.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.